Our passages this morning, we're going to have a few passages that we'll refer to in the sermon. The first passage is taken from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Looking at verses 28. Then we'll jump over to verse 31. Let me read those for us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then over at verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then lastly, over in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Our sermon this morning will be entitled Dealing with Anxiety. Dealing with Anxiety. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we ask that you would use it that we could properly deal with our anxieties on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're finally here in the year 2014. Maybe some of you that are remember back in your youthful years, you wonder what you may be like in the year 2000 or starting in year 2010. And here we are in 2014. Yet while being in the year, this new year, it can be filled with different emotions. We can have the emotions of looking forward to the new year with different goals in mind. We may have a new ministry that we may want to start that may be in your minds. Some may be getting married and so can't wait for that day. Some might be graduating high school or college or looking to start a new job that's coming up, and so you can't wait forward to that. There's many things that are exciting in a new year that you can look forward to. Many plans that you have conceived in your mind that you hope come to fruition. At the same time, you may be here with some anxiety about the new year. Our health might be poor, so we might be anxious that it might grow worse. Might be anxious about the state of a loved one who maybe this might be their last year of living. So you're thinking of the heartache that will bring. Or you might be here and have really no plans for the future and so be concerned about wasting a new year, not knowing what to do. There's many things that bring anxieties to us. And those things we want to deal with this morning. And our passages that we read this morning deal with anxiety from different angles. We want to study those angles of anxiety so that we have the weapons of God to properly deal with anxiety. We need the weapons of God against this ugly foe. Because anxiety, when it raises its head, is an ugly, terrifying, fearful foe. And that's what we want to address. First of all, what is anxiety? I think we've all experienced it, but how would you define what anxiety is? Anxiety is actually a subset of fear. We know anxiety deals with fear, but fear of what? To put it in short, anxiety deals with simply the fear of the future. Or more specifically, the fear of unknowns. When something's an unknown to you, doesn't it cause fear? You say, why should it? Well, because we think the worst is going to happen, don't we? So anxiety involves fear of future unknowns. Let me give some synonyms for you of anxiety and see if these strike your heart a little bit. Here's some synonyms from the dictionary. Worry, concern, apprehension, unease, fearfulness, perturbation, agitation, angst, misgiving, nervousness, or even tension. Okay. I think those summarize what anxiety is, or at least what anxiety does to us, doesn't it? I know we've all here have experienced anxiety in some form and in some manner and time of our lives. I know I have. And it's almost like it's a constant battle with us, isn't it? Let's consider an example of anxiety about the future. Suppose, you know, we wanted to go walking out in the woods. You know, as I look behind the church here, there's this big field out here. You know, suppose we wanted to go out there for a walk before it gets real cold the next couple of days. Well, say, well, that sounds like a good idea. Go out, get some fresh air, get a little exercise, get the blood going. But before I do that, I said, well, I don't know about doing that. I might step in a hole out there and so twist or break my ankle. Or there might be a snake out there. I could get bitten by that snake. That wouldn't feel very good. Okay. Or it's kind of chilly out there. I don't want to get cold. Okay. And the list can go on and on. And so you end up not going out there because you're so afraid of these different possibilities that could happen, but may not happen. You see what anxiety does to you? The mind analyzes all the fearful scenarios and you remain terrified. That's what anxiety does. It gets wrapped up in the what ifs, doesn't it? Anxiety gets caught up in the middle of something that may happen, but at the same time, it might not happen. Anxiety can be compared to the dreadful rocking chair of life that many of us end up sitting in, where we rock back and forth, but end up doing nothing and going nowhere as we consider two options. Anxiety in the Greek, interestingly, is compared to an ancient form of torture that used to be done, where they would take you and tie your different limbs to horses, then have the horses pull in different directions and eventually pull your limbs out of socket. Okay, you can imagine the pain that's associated with that and even die because of that. Well, that's what anxiety does too. Anxiety is very painful, isn't it? It's a torture that's within us that nobody is tying our limbs or anything, but yet it's an inner turmoil that so easily comes upon us, where we get pulled in opposite directions. We want to do those two things, but we end up not doing either of them. We end up being paralyzed in life, don't we? And anxiety robs us of making healthy decisions, and it can rob us of our life as well. That's how dreadful anxiety is. It involves only seeing a negative future, doesn't it? And being fearful of it. Anxiety is one of Satan's favorite devices in the believer's life, if not his favorite. So how are we to deal with anxiety? Because we're going to face it, if not every day, every year. It always comes around for us. So we want to look at a couple of things this morning. We want to consider the source of anxiety. Then we want to look at a couple of ways to deal with anxiety. What is the source of anxiety? And what are our biblical weapons to deal with anxiety? We need to know these things so that when anxiety comes our way, we're ready for it. We know how to handle it. Okay? Because if you're not ready for it, it will devour you. It will paralyze you. It will make you ineffective. And it could even kill you. So how to deal with it? Well, let's look at, first of all, our 1 Peter passage in 1 Peter 5 to see what the source of anxiety is. As we read over these verses, Peter commands that we be clothed with humility, that we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, that He would be the one that exalts us in His due time. So we see the command by God is to humble ourselves before God. But Peter tells us how to do that. He tells us to do that by casting all of our cares, or some translations might have, casting all of our anxieties upon Him, because He cares for us. What does the word casting mean? Okay, you can kind of picture that from some different examples. Casting means simply to throw or to toss upon something else. One of the other places in Scripture that casting is referred to here is where Jesus told Peter to cast his net to the side of his boat. And when he did that, all the fish came in. One of the great miracles that Christ did. But what did Peter do when he cast his net? Was the net still in his hand? No, the net went into the sea. It was no longer in his hand. So he didn't have the net anymore. Or another place that's used is the triumphal entry of Christ. When Christ came in and was wanting to ride on the donkey, the people cast off their robes onto the donkey to provide a saddle for Christ to ride on. Well, where were the robes? The robes were no longer on the people. They were on the donkey. So in both cases, casting simply means moving something from point A to point B. It's no longer at point A, but it's over here. Something is either here or over there. And it's over there when we cast it. And that's what God is telling us to do with our anxieties, that we're to cast them upon Him, that we're to toss all of our worries upon God, as He is the strong one to deal with them. We have to realize that we're too weak to deal with our anxieties. We have to realize that anxieties will shred us to pieces, just like a horse being tied to different horses will pull our limbs out of socket and rob us of living. But do you see what the passage is telling us that the problem is? It might sound so easy, but just cast them upon Christ to deal with them. But look at the problem, and we'll see the source of the problem of anxieties. The problem is that we don't want to cast them upon God. The problem is that we want to deal with them on our own. As painful as the anxiety is, we want to wrestle with them and analyze them and deal with them. In fact, we can deal with it so much that we become addicted to worrying. Ever hear the phrase, the worry wart? That's what they do. They become so addicted. It's almost like a superstition that I have to worry in order to get rid of my worries. And you get trapped in the prison of worry. In short, the problem is that we want to govern our future, you see? But we can't do that. There's only one God of the future, and that's God Himself. We can't control the future. We're not sovereign, but God is. So when we cast our anxieties upon God, what are we doing? We're giving our futures to Him and trusting them with Him. See that? We're giving our futures to Him. It's going from point A, ourselves, to Him. You see that? And that can relieve us of the anxieties. But why is that so hard to do? Well, our passage tells us, if you look again at verse 5, our passage tells us that the problem is our pride or our arrogance. That pride is the source of anxiety. You may not have thought of that. You may have thought it's due to something else, but how in the world is it due to pride? Pride says, by definition, I don't need God. I am self-sufficient. I'm self-sufficient to do anything and handle anything in my life, including anxieties. Pride says that I'm my own God. Pride holds on to myself as being the idol, as the chief architect of all things. Anxiety has also been termed, a very good term here, emotional atheism. Anxiety has been termed as emotional atheism because I'm letting the emotions of fear be generated by me claiming myself as God and so rejecting the one true God. It's the emotion generated by deifying ourselves. It's the result of placing faith in myself instead of God, who is the true strength to deal with anxieties. Anxiety is the perfect formula to sabotage our futures. But our passage says that the cure for anxiety is to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. And the way we do that is to cast the anxieties upon Him. By doing that, it's a trust that He cares for us. Do you believe God cares for you? If you do, He says, cast them all upon me. Cast them all upon me. Think about what you do for somebody that you know cares for you. What do? You generally what? Go to them in times of trouble, don't you? Because you know they care for you. If you know somebody does not care for you, do you generally go to them in times of trouble? Probably not. Because you don't think what? They care. But if you believe God cares, and He does, He says, come to me. Come to me. And give me every ounce of anxiety and let me deal with it. Trust me with it. So the next time you go through anxiety, one of the ways that you can know that you're dealing with it appropriately and it will start to be eased in your life is when you start to get humbled in that situation. When you start noticing yourself being humbled under God's mighty hand, those anxieties will start to evaporate. It's an interesting process. Let's look at our other passage that deals with anxiety. Back in Romans 8, we'll look first at Romans 8:28. For all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. A verse that probably most of us have memorized. Here we'll tackle what anxiety fears. Okay? Again, anxiety fears that what is to come is going to be the worst for us. That my future will be bad. In that it looks at the future and sees danger. It sees destruction. It sees loss of some type. That my future is only destruction. That my future is only doom and gloom. That's all I can see. That's all I want to see. And that is what's going to come to fruition. It holds that the future holds calamity for me. And so I live in that fear. Even though I haven't lived in the future yet, I get trapped that that's what the future is going to be for me. It embraces pure negativity for the future. And so I have this dark cloud continually upon me and am continually walking in it. But Romans 8:28 counteracts this negativity decisively, saying that God works for my good. God works for my good in all things, not only in the present, but also in the future. Can I trust Him for that? Can I trust Him? Can I take away trust from myself, which is only seeing negativity, to Him who promises good if I'm His own? Can I trust Him for that? So this goes along with Romans 8:31, where Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You see, if God has taken away the ultimate anxiety, which is what? Dying and going to hell under His wrath. He can take care of these little anxieties, can't He? These other things are just the little drops of sweat. My goodness, if He has taken away that chief anxiety, what does He say? If God did not spare His own Son, but delivered up for us all, how shall He not freely also give us all things? If He took care of that, what's this? This is a drop in the bucket. You see that? Let these anxieties evaporate from you. This is small change for God to deal with. If He's taking care of this infinite thing, how much more are these finite things? Think of that the next time you go through your anxieties. Then let them evaporate. Saying this is nothing for God to deal with. This is absolutely nothing. I don't have to be fearful of this. Job, when he went through all his anxieties, came to the conclusion, though he slay me, still I'll trust in Him. Even if God takes my life through this dark providence, that's small change. I can trust Him for that. Job trusted God for His goodness even at death. See that? The problem is what? An issue of faith. It's an issue of trust. Can I get my trust off of myself unto God? That's the struggle in the Christian life. Because you grab at that sinful heart, wants to pull that trust back to yourself. You say, no, I've got to have it on God continually, or I'll go nowhere. So in the future, when we face anxieties, we can trust that God will work for our good. The future will always be an unknown to us. Things indeed may not go as good as we might envision or plan them to go. But we can face it with the assurance that even if it doesn't, God is still going to work my own personal good out of it. Even at the time I don't understand it, even at the time I'm confused, I've still got to trust Him. He's working my good. Can we trust Him? Can we trust Him? He says to trust Him, not trust ourselves or our feelings, which are so easy to do. It allows us to face our future with patient endurance, so that we can say, whatever God brings forth, He'll be with me. He'll be working my good in it. And so there's no need to fear or think negative about the future. See that? Can you do that by casting your future to Him? See that? Cast not only the anxieties, but the future to Him. When the anxiety meets you the next time that you're walking around, or oftentimes they'll come to me when I'm laying in bed thinking about the day, that's when they'll come. You've got to immediately give it to Him. Pray it off to Him. Okay? Evaporation occurs when, you know, some liquid here at some temperature where it can leave the liquid and go to the gas state. Okay? Well, that evaporation point is prayer. Pray the anxiety off to Him. God, I give this to You. Take it from me, I pray. Thomas Watson once said that if one friend should throw a bag of money at another friend, and in the process of so doing, it grazes the friend's head, he would not be much trouble seeing that he got the money. So God may bruise us with some type of an affliction, but it is to enrich us. And these afflictions work for us in eternal way to glory. See what Watson is saying there? That even in the future, if I get hit by something that hurts, okay, I know that that's a money bag of gold that is there for me. So I might take a little bit of pain for that, but there's a money bag of gold there. Okay? That's how we have to view the future. So in summary, we have two weapons against anxiety that we always want to have at our side. Providence and casting. That we have to trust, according to what God says, that future providence will always be in our favor, even if it doesn't look like it. When my feelings of anxiety attack, I can then cast it to Christ and so let it go. And envision your anxieties as balloons in your hand. And just let them go. Just let them go and watch them float off. Okay? Until you let it go, you're going to be the one that wrestles with it. And so develop that continual fearful emotion. So let us pray for increased faith this new year so that we can properly handle our anxieties. See, the only anxiety a person should have in this life is if they are not a believer. See that? If they're not a believer, they should have anxiety. Constantly about the future. about when they die and in this life. Because the passage doesn't refer to an unbeliever that things will be worked for their good. So they have reason to have anxiety. But the Christian shouldn't. That's why Christ continually ministered to his disciples. You know, oh, ye of little faith, and so on. See that? No need to fear. That's why Christ could sleep on the boat when the winds and the waves came. He didn't fear. Neither should we. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.